Today, we're wrapping up a series on stress. We've been talking about stress. And what we've discovered about stress is it's unavoidable. So maybe this is your first time here for the stress series, and you're like, yes, I can't wait to learn about how to learn to avoid stress. Sorry. It's unavoidable, unfortunately. It is impossible to avoid stress. And actually, we weren't meant to. We weren't meant to. Our stress is, quick little recap, is our body's response to intense situations. To intense situations. In intense moments, we put our body into stress in order to survive. It's a survival tactic of ours, and it's actually pretty incredible. In stress, we can do some pretty incredible things. I recently read a true story about a mother lifting up a car to save her son who was being crushed by it after the what do I have here? Thank you. That was Blair, wasn't it? He's like, you idiot. Have you ever changed a tire? Yes, I have, all right? I have. The jack slipped, and in this intense moment, filled with stress and adrenaline, and all the things that come that our body pushes out when we're in moments of stress, right? She lifts the car, and she saves her son. In stress, our bodies go into this fight or flight where cortisol and epinephrine or adrenaline surge through us, and it can give us incredible strength to protect those we love, or the endurance to swim or run for hours on end to safety. Stress is an incredible blessing. However, as we've been talking about, it can also be a debilitating curse. Because our bodies aren't meant to handle stress 24/7. We've just gotten so used to operating on stress that we've become almost reliant on its effects, and our bodies no longer know how to naturally shut it off. Over time, this leaves us burnt out, anxious, depressed. Due to cortisol's prolonged effect on our bodies, we're left with side effects like high blood pressure, a weakened immune system, and elevated blood sugar, which can lead to all sorts of serious health issues. So how does the way of Jesus help us to navigate the stress that we feel? How does God invite us to live with stress in a way that doesn't leave us feeling frayed, but instead mended and whole? Well, hopefully you've gleaned a thing or two over the past 4 weeks as we've talked about things like the stress that we manufacture versus natural stress. Things from the stress of control to contentment. The importance of self-care. Or navigating the stress of grief. And today we're going to talk about how we walk through the stress of trials in our lives. Because like stress, trials are inevitable. You cannot avoid challenging and difficult times. And contrary to some popular belief, especially if you follow Jesus told his followers straight up, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. In context, Jesus was referring to his looming death and the experience his followers would go through, but I think this is true for us today. Has anyone in the room yet to face a trial in their life? Okay. Has anyone in the room have yet to experience a difficult season in their life? Some people are raising their hands in the back. All right, you guys have kids. I know that's false. All right, I know you do. A season where you felt overwhelmed or underprepared or both at the same time. We all navigate trials differently, similar to grief. However, trials are a natural part of life. They're a natural part of our lives. And sure, there are definitely times when everything seems to be going well, right? You get the promotion. You get accepted into the school that you wanted to be going to. You're healthy. Your finances are doing well. Things are looking good on that front. You're performing well at school or in sports or at work, right? Things are just good. The path we're on is all green pastures. But then there are seasons where the path takes a sharp turn. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in hard and challenging situations, in seasons of trial. We all go through trials, but for some of us, it just feels like we can't get away from them. We might feel like the path we're on is all rocky desert, and we haven't seen a green pasture in a long, long time. How do we navigate these trying times as followers of Jesus? When we're in a season of trial or trials, because it seems like it's usually more than one. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you or your phones, however you prefer, I invite you to open to the book of James. Some of you might know where I'm going with this because it's right there. Starting chapter 1, verse 2. James writes, "Consider it pure joy. Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, before we dive into the blatantly obvious issue we might have with this line of scripture, I want to point out something that James writes. He says, not if you face trials, but when. Reiterating the words of Jesus, it's not if we will face trials as Christians, but when. And when you do, James says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy. When things aren't going well. When life has hit the fan. Pure joy. James, what are you talking about? There's another book of the Bible called Habakkuk. And Habakkuk's a minor prophet. A prophet is essentially like a mouthpiece of God at the time. God would speak to this person. They would speak to the people, would speak to Israel. This was Judah that Habakkuk would have been speaking to, God's people. And this would have been out of time. It's a minor prophet, not because he was like lesser then. It's just that his book is short. It's three chapters. Okay, it's a shorter book. Okay? And the book is compromised of, it's set up with complaints, responses, and then a prayer. Habakkuk looks out over Israel. He sees, man, God, how do you put up with your people? How do you put up with these people? They're living in sin. We're going down a bad path. We're living unrighteously, God. What are you going to do about this? He complains. God, do something. God says, yeah, I'll do something. I'm going to send the Babylonians to come and conquer you guys. And Habakkuk right away is like, whoa, hold on. Whoa, I don't know if we should do that. The Babylonians, they're even worse. They're worse than we are. They're heathen, pagan people. Goodness, do you see what they do to people when they see what they do to countries when they overtake them? It's terrible, awful stuff. God, why would you do that? What are you going to do about the Babylonians? And God says, I've got a plan for them too. Yeah, I'm going to take care of them too. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And that's what Habakkuk gets. And he responds with a prayer. So he gets this. He's like, yep, you're going to be overtaken. That's going to happen. I'm going to deal with the Babylonians too. But yeah, Habakkuk is in a trial season of life, a challenging time. He's supposed to be God's mouthpiece, but these people are not listening. And so they're going to get overtaken and overthrown and put into exile. And some of you know the story. It's going to be a long time before there's any really real visible hope. And I want to go to a moment in Habakkuk's response, in his prayer to God. This is at the end, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. Is this a good time Habakkuk's living in? Where there's no food, no commerce, essentially? No, this is a challenging time. This is a trial season. He goes on, he says, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will have joy in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. He goes on, he says, the sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And I think some of us, we can read verse 18 and we'll be like, yeah, okay, all right, I can kind of get that. I can kind of get that. Verses 19 just sounds poetic. That sounds great. Because what do we think of when we think of a deer? First thought comes to mind. What do we think of? Oh, that's great. Wasn't expecting that one. We think of I saw some deer out this morning. What kind of deer did I see? Some whitetail, American whitetail deer. That's essentially what I saw, right? That is not the deer that Habakkuk is referring to in this. And I think when we understand what Habakkuk is referring to, it actually paints a completely different picture for us as we can come to understand why he is rejoicing in the Lord and why he can be joyful in God, his Savior. So I have, he's referring to a type of deer, probably more related to the goat, but a Nubian ibex. Okay, and like I said, they're more like goats, but I have a really cool video that I want to show you guys about the Nubian ibex. So I want to show you guys this. So check this out. We read that prayer and we think, makes my feet like the feet of the deer, enables me to tread on the heights. And we think, yeah, the heights of life, mountaintops, awesome moments. In context, that deer was on a mountaintop, but that was a trial. That was a challenging season of life. That was a difficult moment. And Habakkuk can see what's coming, and he can rejoice because he knows. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Isn't that so cool? It's so cool. When we begin to look into some of the things, some of these writers, things we might just glance over and think, yeah, that's cool, a deer, sweet. And then we get into it and we're like, wow, this paints this in an entirely different way for me. In the midst of the trials that he finds himself in, Habakkuk, he rejoices because God has made his feet like the feet of a Nubian ibex. In the trials, we rejoice because God has created us for the trials and not just to survive them, but to thrive in them. Yes, stress is survival. But constant stress, chronic stress, the stress that we've been talking about that eats away at us, that leaves us frayed, man, that's barely survival. You see, the trials that we face can leave us feeling even more stressed and even more frayed than we already feel. But when we can find the joy, the trials we face can actually make us whole. They can actually strengthen us. Go back with me to James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, rejoice in your trials. Find joy, as he said, in your trials. Because when you do and you persevere, James says that we will be made, that we may be made mature and complete or whole. There is a wholeness that God brings when we find joy in our trials, a wholeness that will be perfected in Jesus one day, but as we're on the journey now, something we can build towards. And so instead of allowing the stress of our trials to pull us apart and fray us further, we can trust in God and know that it is actually through our trials when our faith in Jesus and in his trial, because that's exactly what his moment on the cross was, and he was made whole, so are we made whole. Because even in the midst of our trials, there is still cause for joy. There is still cause for joy. Mostly because we can choose to have faith, because faith in Jesus, because his promise to rescue and redeem us, right? That hope that we have, the faith, but also because we do still live in a good world that God has made. We read in the Psalms about the joy that we can find in nature, God's creation. Or in Psalm 104, how a good bottle of wine can bring joy to people's hearts. We read that we can find joy in a wedding or in our children or even in a smell. We read, or in the presence of a loving, good friend. Though the scriptures are clear, trials are unavoidable in this life, it would appear to me that as much as trials are inevitable, joy is available. As much as trials are inevitable, joy is available, if we can choose to see it. Cool thing about joy, another fun fact for you today, not about St. Patrick. Joy is a natural de-stressor. Joy is our body's stress shutoff valve, so to speak. Just Google the impact that joy has on our bodies, on our brains, on our mental emotional health, on our nervous system. It is fascinating, the research that you will find. Fascinating. And our God knows this because he knows us and he invites us to find joy. Long before it was a compelling science article, James says, find joy. Consider it pure joy in your trials. If you're struggling to find joy in your trials, it makes sense. I get that. I would imagine that most of us do. Most of us can relate. Most of us might roll our eyes or, you know, think when that verse in James is read to us, as someone's trying to comfort us, oh my gosh, seriously, thank you, but no, thank you. If you're struggling to find joy in the trials you face, let me remind you that God has indeed given you feet for the path you are on. Many before you have relied on those words. Habakkuk was actually reciting a song of King David in that moment. A moment when King David had been saved, rescued from people who were chasing and trying to kill him. He writes that. Many before us, many before you have relied on those words alone and found joy in them, and they rejoiced in God in the midst of their challenging circumstances. But I get it, in difficult times, it can be hard to find joy. Because sometimes knowing the verse, knowing only gets us so far. This is where I believe we need to get practical. Learn to walk out our faith in our lives. Because sometimes it's not just enough for us to know the right things. Sometimes we need to do something. It's easy for us to know that we should be joyful in the trials, but it's another thing for us to then go and find it. The stress of trials can be callous to us. They can callous us from even wanting to find joy. Maybe you've been there before and you've said things like, I'll see my friends when I get through this test, this project, this rough patch. I wish I had time to go see a movie, take a walk, leave my desk for lunch, but I'm just so behind on everything. I don't feel like I deserve to go get a massage, read for fun, take a day off, take a vacation. I feel guilty being joyful. When my mom or partner or friend is struggling, when we are faced with persistent stress or overwhelming circumstances, when we are in the trials of life, too many of us respond by postponing joy. Joy becomes something we either have to earn or deserve through patience or hard work or self-denial. This is backwards and contrary to the invitation we read in the scriptures. Friends, we should see our joy as a tool to deal with our stress. Amidst our trials, joy is a form of resilience. It is the means by which we persevere our trials, joy. And it is a joy rooted in the God who created us to traverse the rocky mountain heights and lie down in green pastures. It is a joy rooted in the promise and in the hope that we will one day be free of pain and sorrow and grief and trials. But until that day, we can find joy in a lot of things. More recently, most of you know this, we've got two beautiful girls. They're fantastic. I like to talk about them from the stage sometimes because they're crazy and they're wild and they're humans, little tiny humans, not mature yet. What feels like manipulation sometimes. Our oldest is 3, and our youngest is, she'll be 10 months soon. So we're in the throes of it. And it was one of those weeks where there was a lot going on at work. There was a lot going on with home stuff, family stuff, friends going through some difficult times, So I'm already stressed. There's already a level of stress there that I'm navigating. And it used to be worse. But on Tuesday, Morgan and I have kind of a regular schedule. She works late on Tuesday nights. And so most of the time, most evenings, we're, you know, one of us is home and we can kind of help each other out, right? One can be with one and one can put down the other and we can divvy it up. Well, when she works late on Tuesday nights, it's just me. And I used to sweat profusely right up until about 7 o'clock. Starting at 7, actually, it would get even worse. Especially if the naps like weren't working out or if one of them didn't nap or one of them was hungry. I don't know how it went. Especially if when I went in to put Ophi down and it wasn't quite Leora's bedtime and I knew I had to take Leora in there and I had to put her down so I could read a book to Ophi and hold Ophi at the same time. And if she started freaking out, then I'd have to have both of them at the same time. And I remember one weekend, Morgan works Saturdays too, when I'm trying to put Leora down, and you know that three-year-old not being quiet, knocking on the door, barging in the door, I'm like trying, oh my goodness, child, I'm gonna do something. While I'm trying to rock this one to sleep and my stress is just up there and I'm having bad thoughts. And I remember watching this, it was a TV show, it's called Stress Proof, or Limitless on Disney Plus, Stress Proof with Thor. And there was a moment in there when they said, you know, positive self-talk is so important. It can change the circumstance you're in. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna take a second right now in this moment, and it's so vivid in my mind because I remember it like this because it was just an automatic shift. But I remember there, I'm stressing out and freaking out. I'm like, this child is not gonna sleep because I'm very stressed and I'm gonna do something. And I just took a moment, I took a breath, and I just said, God, I am so grateful for this little one and for that little one. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity they have to be a father. For the joys that it has brought to my life. this is not one of them, but I'm thankful for the ones that I can think of in the moment. And I kid you not, I just was overcome with relief. Within like 30 seconds, this one is out, cold. Put her down and I can go attend to my three-year-old. Joy amidst the trials. Seems like a silly, simple trial to what maybe some of us are, what's going on in our lives in the room this morning, today. But if we can find joy amidst the trials, we can persevere. We can heal. And we can be made whole. More mature and more complete in our faith. We can have a stronger faith. And the next trial that comes, man, we've got feet for the path. I don't know what your stress has been like through this series. I don't know the causes of your stress. But before we go in, I'm going to invite the band on stage. But before we go into worship, so band, you guys can come on up. I just want to enter into a moment of prayer. And so I invite you guys to do this with me. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. Let's get into a posture of prayer. God, as we're here in this moment right now, God, I just want to say thanks for bringing us here together. God, I want to say thanks for our breath as we breathe in And as we breathe out, thank you, God, for our breath. Thank you, God, for the place that we're in and the people we're with. For the community that we try to be. The community that you called us to be for one another. God, we're grateful. God, we also recognize that there are trials, challenging, difficult seasons in our lives. Just take a moment. Bring one of those trials into the presence of God. God, in this season of challenge, difficulty, we recognize that it is hard. We recognize that it's at times painful, scary even. God, give us feet for the path. Whatever path lies before us, give us feet for it, Lord. In this moment, Lord, I pray, as we're dwelling on our trials, as we're thinking about the difficulties and the challenges we are facing or that are looming, that are coming down our way, God, would you reveal to us a thing or two that we could be joyful for, that we could find joy in. Jesus, I'm reminded that if I have nothing, I have you. And that can be enough for me. God, that you know trials. Jesus, you know trials. You faced trials. And you've trusted God. You told your disciples that when they would see you again, that they would have joy, and joy that nothing, a joy that no one could take from them. So God, as we look upon you, I pray, Lord, that we would begin to experience that joy. Come alongside us, God. Help us to find other things that we can find joy in our lives around us. Open our eyes, Lord, to have eyes for joy. It's my prayer this morning, God. For us as a community, eyes for joy and feet for the path. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we love you. It's in your name. Amen.